Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induo Rampol Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chidi. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been talking about blessings and cursings. And the reason I've been doing this series is because Christians complain all the time that they think that they're under some kind of curse. Because they're going through trials in their life, maybe some kind of sickness or family problems, they wonder to themselves, I wonder if I committed some kind of sin that God is punishing me for. I wonder if somebody worked witchcraft on me. I'm wondering if my parents did some kind of sin and now I'm under a generational curse. And Christians think about this all the time whenever they go through trials. And it's understandable. But the Bible clearly says that if you're a child of God, Jesus became the curse that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us. So it is impossible for a child of God to be cursed, yet we get so caught up emotionally when we go through trials that we forget that the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. But instead, when we go through trials, we see the trial as a curse from God, as a punishment from God, not realizing that trials are actually a sign that God loves us. It is something that God allows to happen to all of his children, including his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. But today, what I would like to do is look at two examples of people in the Bible who were actually cursed by God. And I want to show you what a curse from God actually looks like, so that you will see the trials that you go through in your life, they are not a curse. So there's two people we're going to look at is King Saul and Eli the priest. So we're going to start off with King Saul. And I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 15. Israel was in a war against the Amalekites, and King Saul was commanded by God to kill everybody. Destroy everything, all the sheep, all the people, the king, everything. Kill them, wipe them out completely. But King Saul decided he would spare the king of the Amalekites, and he would spare some of the best sheep and the best oxen to sacrifice to God. And everything that wasn't so good, he destroyed it. But he kept back a few. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10 says, Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel was the priest, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. So he was boasting. He thought he did what God told him to do, even though he clearly didn't. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of sheep I hear in my ears, and the lowing of oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. Not my God, your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me. When you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you as king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and gone on the mission which the Lord sent me. And I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder, the sheep, the oxen. Now he's throwing the people under the bus, right? And the best of the things which should have utterly been destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. But you, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." And the Bible went on to say, "And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel." So, there are a number of things that happen here. He said, "When you were little in your own eyes, did not God appoint you king over Israel?" So what happened to King Saul is that he got too big in his own eyes. He was a leader. He was the king of Israel, appointed by God for a mission. And he got a little too big. Power got to his head. And his ego got in the way of him obeying the voice of God. He felt like he could do his own thing. There was another situation two chapters before where he felt Samuel was taking too long to come to make the sacrifices. So he just said, "Look, forget Samuel. Let me just do the sacrifice myself." What happened to King Saul is that he got too big. He got too proud. He got too presumptuous. And he stopped trusting in God. The Bible said he rejected God's word. Therefore, God rejected him as king. Now, when he was cut off from being king, when he was cut off, immediately God told Samuel to go and anoint another king over Israel. It says, "Until the day of his death, Samuel saw him no more." King Saul tried on many occasions to hear from God, and God completely blanked him. When God cut off King Saul from being king, it was immediate and it was decisive. Afterwards, a demon came upon King Saul, especially when he saw David, who was the new king, appointed king over Israel, doing so well in battles. He got jealous, and he thought David was a threat to his own son Jonathan taking over the kingdom after him. So a demon would come upon him, and he tried to kill David on a few occasions. And he even told Jonathan, "Why are you hanging out with that son of Jesse? He is going to stop you from being king over Israel." When he got cut off, he was cut off immediately. That's how essentially you know somebody is cursed from God. They are cut off immediately. There is no chance of repentance. Saul tried to repent, but God would not listen to him. God cut him off. He already made his decision. Yet we know that for us, the Bible says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. So that was King Saul. Let's look at the other example now of a priest called Eli, and I'm reading a few verses from 1 Samuel chapter 2. Eli was the priest, and he had two sons called Hophni and Phinehas who were very corrupt. And verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 2 says, "Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord." In fact, one version says they were sons of Belial. And verse 22 says, "Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he said to them, 'Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. And know, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if he sins against the Lord, who will intercede?' Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them." So he heard about all their dealings, how they would have sexual relations with the women in the temple, in the tabernacle. And all he did was hit them on the hand and say, "No, no, no, you shouldn't do those things. That's bad. That's wrong." When he failed to take decisive action. Verse 27, "Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, 'Why do you kick against my sacrifice and my offerings which I have commanded in my dwellings, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, that there will be not an old man in your house, and you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. But any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart, and all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of your age, in the flower of their age. That is what a curse looks like. Because he honored his sons above God, and he relinquished his responsibilities before God as priest, God cut him off, and it was immediate. And on that day, when there was a battle against the Philistines, his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, went to war, and they were both killed in battle, and the Ark of the Covenant was stolen. And when Eli heard it, when the news came to Eli that his two sons were dead, he said, all right, fine, what about the Ark of the Covenant? And they said, no, they took the Ark of the Covenant. And he fell down backwards on his chair, broke his neck, and died. Phinehas had a wife who was pregnant at the time. She was just about to give birth. And when she heard the news, she died. But before she died, she called the name of the child Ichabod, meaning the glory of God has departed from Israel. My friends, that is what a curse looks like. That is what a curse looks like. And tell me, does that describe you as a born-again child of God? When God cut off Eli and Saul, it was immediate, it was decisive, and there was no chance of repentance afterwards. God made his decision, and it was finished. It was done. There was no turning back. That is what a curse looks like. And I tell you that we who are born-again children of God are not under a curse. So, regardless of how your trials look, I could promise you that it is not a curse the way God cursed King Saul and the way he cursed Eli. King Saul and Eli were both leaders, and these are two leaders who relinquished their duty and they abused their power. King Saul got too big in his own eyes. Eli was too weak in doing what he was supposed to do. Both of them placed their families above God. They were leaders appointed to see over the kingdom of God, but they placed their family above the kingdom of God. Curses are really designed for the enemies of God, and in both these cases, it was leaders who failed to properly represent God. These are the kind of people who were cursed. And when they were cursed, they were cut off suddenly and decisively, and there was no turning back. When you go through trials in your life, you will find that no matter how bad the trials are, it is not as bad as what happened to Eli and what eventually happened to King Saul. Because the Bible said in 2 Corinthians, when we go through trials, our experience is we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. You see, trials may be bad sometimes, but there's always that glimmer of hope. There is always that hope in us where we know that God is with us. And that's why the Apostle Paul was able to say, but these light afflictions are temporary. They cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. When you go through regular trials, God always gives you that glimmer of hope that you know He is with you. Even though you don't feel it, deep down inside you know that He is with you. That is the difference between a blessing and a curse. And I tell you, as children of God, we are blessed and we are not cursed. Because Jesus Christ became the curse that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us. All right, God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induo Rampal Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.